There's no place like home for the
goblins lurking in shadows, edge haunting, whispers creep through the trees, yeah, yeah. Jack-o'-lanterns and chilling dread, ghostly figures dance through the breeze, yeah, yeah. Spirits for the night, terrors deny, Halloween spectacular fear ignites. With every corner's turn, shadows yearn for screams and chills in the autumn light.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
And Jeff, it's as you know, we're in week four. We're almost done. We could see the end.
I can see the end, Jay. There's a big neon banner saying the end of the 2025 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
We've been running this marathon for weeks. I mean, it would take us weeks.
Yeah, to run. I was going to say, yeah, I've been walking this marathon for weeks.
Stopping at every restaurant we see.
God, thank God, Jay, a conveniently placed bench.
but we're getting there. We got this, and we got one more, and we're home free from the Spooktacular.
Oh, boy.
Can't believe we got cursed with doing 5 weeks of Halloween. I mean, honestly, this one has been a delight compared to some of our previous years.
I was going to say, this might be the strongest Spooktacular.
I think certainly so far. Even knowing next week's movie, like, easily this is the best one we've had.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know. Let's carve that pumpkin. We're talking about 2022's Terrifier 2.
Ooh.
Oh, sorry. Terrifier 2.
Good, Jay, good.
Yeah, I meant to make that joke. I've been meaning to make that joke for a long time. And, like, I was going to make it last year, and I forgot to do it. And I was like, you gotta do Holy Diver, but Terrifier. You gotta do it.
You gotta do it.
You gotta remember to do it. And I'm glad I remembered to do it.
Mission success.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, released October 6th, 2022. Hey.
Hey.
Pretty good.
Yeah, movie set on Halloween, good.
Yeah. Unlike Terrifier 3, which comes out in the middle of October and is a Christmas movie.
That's true. That was a point I was going to ask you, Jay. Are we going to do Terrifier 3 for the Spooktacular, or are we doing it for the main show?
I think we got to do it for the main show. I think if Terrifier 4 winds up being a Halloween movie, mm-hmm. we move it back. Or even if it winds up being not being a holiday in general. Like, mm-hmm. if Terrifier 4 is just its own thing, I think we just do it for the Spooktacular after we cover Terrifier 3 at some point.
Sounds good.
Written and directed by Damien Leone, who has been the mind behind this whole universe, and we will see his work again in Terrifier 3 and Terrifier 4 and potentially more Terrifier movies.
Well, he's saying it should end with at least the original story between Art and Sienna is going to end in Terrifier 5.
Excellent. Speaking of Sienna Shaw, we've got Lauren Lavera as Sienna Shaw. We've got the mean one himself, David Howard Thornton, returning as Art the Clown.
He's no mean one, but I guess he'll do.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather be watching Mean One 2.
I mean,
God, I would.
We could only hope, Jay. We could only hope.
Elliot Fulham plays Sienna's brother, Jonathan. Samantha Scafidi returns as Victoria Hayes. Hi, guys. The Nueve, the Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, plays Burke.
Mm-hmm. Good, good.
Y2J. what I'm trying to remember other nicknames he's had. He was also the Ocho, but then he won another world title, so he became the Nueve. The Learning Tree. All sorts of different nicknames. All sorts of great nicknames.
He had some walls, I think.
The Walls of Jericho. The Judas Effect. The ratings god, the demo god, I think that was a nickname. He's had all, Chris Jericho's done all sorts of shit. multiple time world, like I said, 9-time world champion. Phil Falcone is Clown Cafe executive.
Nice, nice.
Dominic Muscello plays high school student. And all of the people mentioned so far will also appear in Terrifier 3.
Ooh.
Manglad. Oh, sorry. Mangled dick expert Felissa Rose is Miss Princip, and we'll see her again in so many other things, some of which are Triple Xmas, Christmas Slasher, Caesar and Otto's Deadly Christmas, Deadly Little Christmas, Silent Night, Zombie Night.
I like that. I like that.
Love our mangled dick expert.
Mongled dick geekspert.
I was like, what did I write here? Oh, shit. Tamara Glynn is a costume shop mom, and we will see her next year in Halloween 5.
Ooh.
Jonathan A. Streetsel appears as Ninth Circle Demon number 1, and we will see again in Mistletoe Massacre. Craig Sapinot is Ninth Circle Demon number 2, and he is also in Mistletoe Massacre.
Nice.
Steve Kislecki is Nightclub Zombie, and we will see again in Christmas Slasher and Silent Night, Bloody Night 3, Descent.
Mm.
Joshua Kirkpatrick is Nightclub Vampire and is James in Christmas Slasher. We've got a budget of $250,000, and it made $15.8 million.
Ooh.
The most successful, at the time, the most successful unrated movie or indie movie or whatever?
I believe so, yes.
Maybe surpassed by Terrifier 3?
Probably.
But I'm huge. That is an amazing return on investment.
I was going to say, any studio would kill for that kind of return on investment.
You know, that's the thing. Horror is always pretty safe. Like, people always know that, like, you know, spend $1 million to make a horror movie, you're going to make at least, like, 5 times your budget back or whatever. Yeah. And, but, like, that is nuts. A quarter of a million turned into $15.8 million is nuts.
That's, like, the kind of hit that Paranormal Activity was, the first one.
Spawned a whole universe
of
diminishing returns.
When are we going to start that one, Jay?
Oh, that, Jeff, if anything, I think that's reserved for garbage days at some point. Filmed in New York and New Jersey area. Same with, I think, all of the movies in the franchise. Spencer had gotten in touch at one point. I think I mentioned this last year. They filmed parts of Terrifier 3, like, down the street from him or something. Tagline, who's laughing now?
Ooh.
Where to watch?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. It's pretty much free all over the internet.
You basically can't go out to any Halloween-related thing anymore without tripping over some Terrifier merchandise.
Yeah. So. The most successful
modern slasher
since Ghostface. Like,
easily, yeah.
I see people complain about, like, Terrifier stuff all the time, and it's like, you know, and understandable. Like, you don't have to like Terror. You know, you can be a horror fan and not like the Terrifier movies. That's perfectly fine. That's a perfectly fine option to have. But you can't deny that this is the newest hot slasher. Like, that he is now, you know, in the pantheon alongside the likes of Chucky and Freddy and Jason and Michael. And Ghostface.
Indeed. You want to know something depressing, Jay?
What?
In 2 years. Actually, no. In 1 year, I think Ghostface is going to be 30.
That's nuts.
So basically, it's been that long since we've had an iconic slasher.
Yep. And that's the thing. I don't think when, like, All Hallows Eve aired, you know, because I think that was the first, like, feature appearance film length
of him. Yeah.
I don't think when that aired, people...
No.
Would have gone, oh, this guy's going to be an icon. But then, you know, Terrifier came out and people liked it.
Even with Terrifier, I mean, people were like, yeah, we liked it or whatever, but nobody was that sold on it. That's why this movie is the way it is, because, you know, like a good writer and movie maker, he took the feedback from the fans. And he's like, okay, so you guys want something with more narrative and not just all kill effects. And so that's how we got this.
I saw like a thing while doing Razorblade in the Candy. I saw a bunch of people like, oh, the first I can't watch the first movie. It's just kill after kill after kill. And it's like, and then someone doing, you know, saying what you and I said last year, you know, was basically like, and how's that different than Friday the 13th or Halloween or any other, like.
It's like, that's literally the slasher genre, is the story is just a framework to bolt on kills to.
Yep.
It's always like some basic run-of-the-mill story, and some slashers do go a little bit outside of that, but ironically, that's usually the ones that people don't like.
Which is nuts.
I think the only one that's done it, like, for long-term success, made a more narrative slasher, is Scream. The Scream franchise, at least the first four, the Wes Craven ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. he was able to weave in an actual narrative to it and keep people interested.
And what's the other one? I would say like there are aspects of like the Freddy movie of the Nightmare mm-hmm. on Elm Street movies where yeah. like it's yeah there's like some like a longer narrative thread kind of yeah. tied between at least like 3, 4, 5 yeah, the stuff later like ones. That. Yeah,
you could definitely tell the direction he was trying to take it in because he was one of those guys that I think regretted making his original movie because then people are like, hey, I want that movie 50 more times. He's like, yeah, but I don't want to do that movie yep. 50 more times.
I mean, you know, John Carpenter yes. talk about every famous, Halloween sequel except Halloween 3. Halloween,
yeah.
Anyway, personal experience.
Well, I watched this. Oh, what was it?
Did you go in theaters?
No.
Okay.
I did not end up seeing it in theaters, but I did watch it, I think, when it came to streaming the first time. And I was like, hey, that was pretty good. Because I had watched it because everybody's like, the bedroom scene, Jay. The bedroom scene is going to make you die if you watch it.
Yeah.
Die in 7 days. People were throwing up in the aisles. And I was like, eh. I mean.
It's once again, I'm going to say the same thing I said last year.
It's a cartoon.
It got hyped up so much in my head that I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like these movies. Mm-hmm. And then I'm watching it. I'm like, it's Looney Tunes. Yeah. It's fucking Looney Tunes.
Yes, it's beyond the point of absurdity. And then you thought, you know, you think this one is absurd and then you see Terrifier 3.
There was one moment in the entire movie that made me like, I think it's even in the bedroom scene. That actually made me like wince and like actually kind of like, ooh, like, and it's like when he snaps her arm and I'm yeah. like, and that's like the least gruesome thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's considered mild or whatever by most people
compared to what happens in the rest of that yeah. scene. But I was like, that was the thing where I was like, ooh, that got me.
Indeed, sir.
My personal experience was, you know, kind of, I had not seen this. I had, saw Terrifier 3. First Terrifier movie I'd ever seen was Terrifier 3 last year. We watched Terrifier 1 for the Spooktacular. And like I said, it was all this publicity about how gross these movies are, how gory these movies are, that just made me go, am I going to like this? Yeah. And I think it was because like the way people talked made me think, oh, it's going to be hostile. It's yeah. going to be a torture porn.
Yes,
and geez, I'm like, I don't want to watch porn, that.
Yeah.
Even though I don't mind the Saw movies,
yeah.
but I don't like it. You know, and so I'm like, the way these people are talking, like, this sounds awful. And then had to go see 3 because, like, we're going to support a Christmas horror Christmas movie in theater.
Yeah, exactly.
And no, like, it's fucking Looney Tunes. That's yeah. that's all these movies are.
I mean, honestly, I wonder if it's just a new generation thing because this is their slasher. And so this is the first time they're watching it. But it's like, there's brutal shit like this in all kinds of slasher movies.
And, like, reportedly, like, people threw up during the chest burster scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing new to be like, mm. people were puking everywhere.
They said the same thing about The Exorcist back when that yep. came out.
Yeah, like, what, 1972, 73? Like,
something
yeah.
like that, yeah. But yes, it's like, that's just marketing. Or like the fucking people who are dying at the Blair Witch, because it's so scary.
Yep. All right, well, Jeff, let's hit our synopsis here. Nope. We open with Art murdering the coroner from the end of Terrifier 1. Not the end, but the end of Art's part of Terrifier 1.
Yeah.
Art is missing an eye and has a hole in the back of his head from the events of the end of the movie, getting shot by the cops. The coroner is able to, like, crawl to a phone and dial 911, but can't talk because Art has slit his throat. Art hangs up the phone and then, like, bludgeons the guy with a surgical hammer, plucks his eye out, puts that eye in his missing eye socket, and then, proceeds to turn the guy's face into ground beef. Art then is, with his bare hands, splits the dude's skull in half
yes.
and pulls his brain out, and then leaves, but not before grabbing some implements like some acid and whatnot to use later.
Putting to rest all the assholes from the first one who were like, Art's not a supernatural killer. It's like, well, fine, then I'm going to have him rip open a guy's skull with his bare hands in the first minute.
Fine, I'm going to have him come back from the... Even though, you're right, he's not a supernatural killer, but he came back from the dead at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And so now he is a supernatural killer. Go fuck yourself. Art goes to an all-night laundromat. There is one patron who is asleep by the door. Art proceeds to strip naked. David Howard Thornton shows ass. And Art then gets his laundry going and then proceeds to read a newspaper. We get this great scene of him, like, looking through the newspaper and laughing. And then it cuts to, like, Art's point of view, and it's the family of four dying head-on collision.
Oh, Heathcliff.
He then hears, like, I think there's, like, some electricity, like, crackling, because when Art came back, there was, like, electricity crackling. Yeah. And Art turns, and there's this little pale girl, think just like a little girl version of Art the Clown sitting there.
Menacingly.
That only Art can see, because at one point, the patron by the door wakes up, and like, Art and the little girl are playing patty cake, but when the patron wakes up, it's just Art playing patty cake. So you got to remember, not everyone can see the little pale girl.
Yes. But some people can.
Good guy Art, his laundry done, gets dressed, cleans up the laundromat, and leaves. And then he walks past the body of the guy by the door who Art murdered with a mop handle.
Of course, yes.
Title card, Terrifier 2. I did enjoy this. I'm probably still going to talk about Terrifier 3, even though we're talking about Terrifier 2. I did enjoy this opening, I think, more than I enjoyed the Terrifier 3 opening. I loved the brutalness of that opening kill, followed by like Art just goofing around in a laundromat for a bit.
No, I think out of the three so far, this is my favorite opening too.
Terrifier 2 theme plays a pretty iconic theme. I'd say that's becoming a pretty popular. Up there for famous horror themes.
Indeed.
Over the opening credits, and we get Sienna Shaw making her Valkyrie costume for Halloween. And we see, we also see the sword. It's like a gladius, would you call it? It's like a short sword, but it kind of looks like the Roman, like, gladiator short sword.
Yeah, it could be.
But anyway, it's this sword that she has that's also sitting on her dresser. And of note, we watch her blow out all the candles on her dresser as well. So take that, Barbara, you fucking bitch.
Nah, she left him on.
Sienna goes downstairs, and we meet her mom, Barbara, and her brother, Jonathan. Jonathan is infatuated with Art the Clown and is planning on dressing as him for Halloween, but both Barbara and Sienna kind of shoot that down. Sienna talks with her mom about her plans to go to a Halloween party with her friends Allie and Brooke, and her mom's just a real asshole. Just a real piece of shit.
Indeed.
Having watched the movies out of order and remembering like how sad Sienna was that her mom died. Yeah. And like that being like a big part of three. And then watching this movie, I'm like, she fucking sucked. Like,
well, and the fact that she doesn't take her son being a potential serial killer seriously at all. She's like, no, don't dress up as Art the Clown. It's going to embarrass me.
Sienna and Barbara talk about Jonathan's infatuation with serial killers. And then we kind of cut to Jonathan, like, doing research about Art the Clown and even, like, reading old newspaper articles about it. Sienna goes upstairs and finishes her costume. Jonathan mentions that her costume looks just like the character that their daddy drew. Oh, and my one note for Damian Leone is I think I'm okay with Sienna referring to her mother and father as mommy and daddy. It's really weird for like a teenage boy to be like, mommy, daddy.
Yeah.
Really weird. Just, I don't know. Every time Jonathan said daddy, it kind of like took me out of the movie for a second. Sienna falls asleep and dreams that she is at the Clown Cafe. This is probably one of the two most famous scenes outside of the bedroom scene. Yes,
this is one of the most memorable scenes, yep. I think, for most people.
There's a bunch of Art the Clown imagery, and it's kind of like a Bozo the Clown kind of thing. And we see an ad for like Art, a kid shooting an ad for Art Krispies, a cereal with glass insects and razor blades inside. Art comes out, starts to give like all the people in attendance like different like junk foods, and then gives Sienna a gift. And when she opens the box, there's like a human heart in it with like worms crawling around.
Oh boy.
And then it starts to like bleed. And then we get, you know, classic Art pulls out a Tommy gun and murders half the audience.
Right.
And the whole time the hype man, the little singer for the Clown Cafe is just sitting there like still playing the Clown Cafe song on her banjo.
Might as well.
Art then pulls out a flamethrower and lights her on fire, and she proceeds to still dance around while playing the Clown Cafe jingle. Sienna like is able to crawl away, and she gets to the box, or you know, she's crawling towards like the cereal box because there's supposed to be a prize inside. And Art kind of notices her and starts walking towards her, pulling out the flamethrower. And Sienna reaches into the cereal box and pulls out the sword and is able to block the flames with it. And then she wakes up and her dresser is on fire, like the candles have all lit and they're burning the wings for her costume.
So the dream was real.
Yep.
Weird. Oh, Jay, I'm getting word from the sword analytical desk that we have at the podcast.
Okay.
You were close. Apparently it is a spatha, which is a type of Roman sword used by knights and cavalrymen.
Okay.
So it's basically a longer gladius meant to be used from horseback.
Okay. Cool.
There you go. Thanks, sword desk.
Thanks, sword desk. Slash. Barbara puts out the fire and yells at Sienna.
Stupid bitch, leaving your candles lit. I hate you.
Barbara really sucks.
I love you, Mom. Fuck you.
Barbara tells Sienna to go back to bed, and Sienna sees that while the wings are fried to a crisp, the sword is perfectly fine, untouched by the flames.
Weird. It's almost like it's magical.
We see Art making weapons while the little pale girl watches TV. The TV has no cord to be plugged into.
Of course.
The TV's just playing, which I think we get another scene like that in Terrifier 3.
Yes.
And it is the interview from the end of Terrifier 1 with Victoria and Monica Brown that then Terrifier 1 ends with Victoria mauling Monica Brown.
Yes.
What
did you think when you first saw your face? That I wish I was dead?
Yep. Art smashes the TV when Victoria says Art is dead. She saw it happen.
Oh.
At school, Jonathan's friends mess with a dead opossum and they scare a classmate with it before our mangled dick expert, Miss Princip, yells at them about it.
Thank God there was one of those on standby.
Yep. Jonathan is distracted in class and asks for a hall pass. And when he is walking through the halls, he sees Art and the little pale girl playing with the dead opossum and, like, eating its guts.
Nice.
Art then throws it at Jonathan, who runs away past the principal of the school, who, when she rounds the corner, doesn't see Art, doesn't see the little pale girl, and just sees the mess of the opossum left in the paw. Left in the hall.
Left in the paw.
Left in the paw.
Damn.
The alien from that movie with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. At her school, Sienna's friends, Allie and Brooke, talk about what happened to Monica Brown, and Sienna freaks out. At home, Jonathan gets grounded for the possum incident. Sienna and Allie go to a Halloween store, this being, I would say, the other iconic moment from the movie. So she can get new wings, and she's even like, I worked like 6 months on those wings, and now I'm having to use store-bought wings.
Shitty fucking wings, and also 6 months on those wings, really.
Allie gets a phone call from her mom, and as she's leaving the store to answer it, runs into Art the Clown, who goes down to the basement and just kind of like watches Sienna menacingly. Sienna goes upstairs to buy the wings, and this is where we get the famous Art the Clown, like, Sienna's trying to pay for the wings and Art's like trying on different sunglasses.
Yep.
And honking like a little clown horn. And all sorts of shit the whole time while Sienna's just trying to make this purchase.
Being an annoying asshole, as usual.
Sienna leaves, and Art kind of locks the door to the shop. And then he's like, basically Art like puts the horn up like he's going to pay for it. And the guy's like, that'll be like $10. I forget what the exact amount is. And Art like digs into his trash bag full of weapons and starts pulling out like change and like other things. And the guy's like, no, just get out. And Art like places like a beer bottle on the thing. And the guy's just like, get out or I'll kick your ass. And Art then proceeds to smash the beer bottle across his head, stab it into the dude's eye, and then pulls out a meat cleaver and hacks like open the top of his head and then decapitates him.
Of course. As you do. Now, do you think this is because Art is Art, or do you think it's because this guy hassled him about bothering his customers?
I think it's because the guy hassled him. Okay. I think if the dude had said nothing, I assume the guy who was asleep next to the door, I assume he said or did something, and that's why he got murdered. I think if he had just stayed asleep, Art probably would have just left him be.
I think so, too.
Like, it's hard to say. It's one of those things where it's like...
Sometimes Art just does kill random people, but sometimes he also lets random people pass by.
So. Yeah. we then get a mother and son going to check the Halloween store, but they see that it's locked. And when Sienna leaves, there's like a bunch of animatronics by the door, a bunch of clown animatronics. And the son looks inside and he sees all these animatronics, and Art is standing there holding the head of the shopkeep. Classic. And like Art kind of like winks at the kid, and the kid's like, cool.
As you would.
At home, Jonathan shows Sienna this book he was looking at from earlier with a bunch of newspaper articles in it. And it turns out it's their dad's sketchbook, which Sienna has been looking for. And inside there's a bunch of pictures and stuff about Art, like even pictures that their dad drew before Art was even a thing, I think, is part of the implication.
I mean, are we going to give Toyota some praise or what, Jay? Their van can really act.
Jonathan begs the Toyota Sienna not to go out because he has a bad feeling about tonight, and he's right.
It's almost like, yeah, if you, somebody in your family's like, hey, I have a bad feeling about this, maybe you shouldn't go, maybe just stay home. That could solve like 90% of problems in horror movies.
We get like Sienna going, and she goes to like the doorbell rings. She goes to like greet some trick-or-treaters, and then it cuts to Allie doing the same thing. She goes to the door, you know, gives candy to the trick-or-treaters, and then she's kind of looking and she sees like a black panel van sitting off to the side, and boy, I hope she's not about to get black phoned.
Oh no.
It's number one thing hassling our teens these days are them getting black phoned.
It's true. I haven't seen Black Phone 2 yet, Jay, but I'm guessing he's even stronger in that one.
Yeah, I'm sure he's black phoning more kids. The doorbell rings and rings again, and this time Art is there. Allie says, aren't you a little old to be a trick-or-treating? Aren't you a little tall for, aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? And she kind of like tells him to leave, and then Art proceeds to like knock on the door again, and she like tells him to leave. And then he like starts pounding on the door.
And she's like, yeah, nice Art costume, loser. Come back when you're the mean one.
And Allie kind of gives him some candy, and then Art just walks off. Sienna gets ready for Halloween, and we cut back to Allie, who's kind of doing the same thing, and we hear glass shatter. She goes downstairs to investigate and finds Art in her house, who chases her, and once she is caught, he scalps her, cuts off her arm, and then begins to flay her skin. Art then leaves the room. Allie tries to crawl to her phone to call Sienna for help, just for Art to walk back in carrying salt and bleach and pour it all over her.
As you do.
Sienna tells her mom goodbye, and after initially Barbara being a real asshole about the whole thing, she does tell Sienna that her dad would have loved the costume. We cut back to Allie's house. Allie's mom arrives and to find the back door broken. When she goes upstairs, she finds Allie and Art. Art's still kind of just playing in her room. And you see Allie's body laying there. And then she starts to move, which, ooh, she's still alive.
Oh, God. Yeah, the eye moving is probably the creepiest thing in this movie.
Sienna and Brooke arrive at a Halloween party. And Jeff, this looks like what a fucking Halloween party should look like.
Yeah, you know, Jay, there's so many other movies that we're not going to name that have Halloween parties that are substandard, but this one's pretty good.
And we are introduced to Brooke's boyfriend, Jeff, who is dressed as Bob from Halloween 1978.
Oh, God, Jay, I hope I don't get stabbed in the dick in this one.
Probably my favorite kill in the whole movie. But yeah, I loved the Bob costume. I thought that was great. I was like, that's a fun way to be like, see it. Cause like one of the things I kind of see when I'm like watching horror movies sometimes, especially like Halloween movies, you know, the idea that like the Michael Myers mask, the like the mask that he wears was popular enough that people bought this painted white William Shatner mask. Mm-hmm. And because Ben Tramer is wearing it in Halloween 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like different, but it's the same. And like, I get once Michael, like after the fact, once Michael starts killing people,
then it would be
popular, but like, but you know, it would be really hard to basically be filming a horror movie and being like, well, we can't really have a guy in a hockey mask. We can't have a Michael. Yeah. We can't really have a Freddy. We can't really have a ghost face, you know? So, okay, we'll make a Bob and that'll just do.
That'll do.
People who know will know, and people who don't know, you know. Well, what's wrong with them?
Those are the best kind of references, I think, to put in your movie.
At Allie's house, the doorbell rings, and Art answers the door for the trick-or-treaters and gives them candy out of the Allie's mom's decapitated head, which he then sawed the top off of, and I assume scooped the brain out.
Oh, yeah.
And they just put a bunch of candy inside. And then the kids are like, why is it so sticky? And the mom's like, ah, it's just fake blood.
Yep, that's right.
Barbara's an asshole to Jonathan and slaps him after she tears up the sketchbook, and Jonathan runs away from the house.
Nice.
At the party, Brooke confesses to spiking Sienna's drink with Molly. Jonathan running away sees Art's van, but luckily doesn't get black phoned, which is important.
It's important to remember that, yeah.
But instead he hears like his mom's voice coming from inside the van, like saying like, Jonathan, come help me, or something like that.
Classic.
And as he runs away, we see the little pale girl sitting there, and her eyes are like glowing yellow, and she's imitating the mom's voice.
It's almost like she's some form of demon.
Yep. Sienna gets a call from her mom, who thinks Jonathan vandalized the family car. And Sienna hangs up after telling Barbara she loves her and everything will be all right. It will, in fact, not be all right.
Yeah. Narrator. But it was not.
Barbara keeps cleaning. And when she gets one of the windows clear, we see Art sitting inside the car. And he just turns, looks at her, and holds like a sawed-off shotgun up to the window and blows her head off. At the party, Sienna starts to have visions of the little pale girl around and freaks out. Jonathan arrives home to find Barbara's corpse posed at the dinner table, and out walks Art wearing an apron and carrying like a casserole dish with mashed potatoes inside, and like pours some wine, puts the mashed potatoes on Barbara's plate, and then picks up the mashed potatoes and just smears them into the hole in her face.
As you do, Jay.
Jonathan goes to run away, and Art kind of chases him around. And then is able to drug him with like something in a syringe and also take Sienna's sword.
Turns out it was Molly.
Jeff and Brooke are driving Sienna home when she gets a call from the little pale girl pretending to be Jonathan with her demon powers, who says that she's at the old carnival and to come get him. Brooke argues but agrees, saying, not like this night can get any worse.
Oh, boy. Another thing you don't want to say in a horror movie.
Be right back. Oh. They arrive at the carnival, and Sienna goes to look for Jonathan. In the car, Brooke explains to Jeff about how Sienna's dad died. He'd gotten a brain tumor and started to like hallucinate and like see things a bunch.
Or did he?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then like one night got really drunk and crashed his car into an electrical transformer and burned alive. Sienna gets a text saying Jonathan is trapped in a ride called the Terrifier.
Oh, is that why it's called that?
I like that it took until the second movie for us to get an explanation of what the Terrifier or what Terrifier means or is a reference to.
And that's why I'm John Terrifier.
Art the Terrifier. In the car, Jeff and Brooke do coke and make out.
Of course.
Sienna arrives at the Terrifier, and it's a really cool looking like haunted house.
Yeah.
And a bunch of a bunch of things I've seen before, and I was like, oh, it's really cool to see these like in like a big budget movie. I guess not a huge budget movie, but still really cool. Brooke tries to call Sienna while Jeff goes outside the car to take a leak, but Art appears and stabs him repeatedly in the dick multiple times before ripping it off.
Nah, damn it, my dick.
And smearing the dick on the window. Art then like breaks through the window, pulls Brooke out, but she kicks him in the head and starts to run off. And Art gives chase. Brooke winds up cornered in a bathroom. And Art, this is where the acid that Art grabbed from earlier comes into play. Art's got like this table leg with a bunch of knives and shit sticking out of it. And like Sienna's like, or not Sienna, Brooke's got like a pole or like a like a 2x4 with a nail in it or whatever. Yeah. And you know, she's like, don't come closer, don't come closer. And Art's like, oh, you know, kind of like acting like he's gonna back off, and then throws the acid in her face and then repeatedly bludgeons her with the table leg with all the weapons in it.
Nice. Solid.
Sienna finds Brooke's body. and Art and Jonathan show up, and Sienna is able to distract Art by stabbing him so Jonathan can run away. Art then proceeds to like beat up Sienna and knock her out. Jonathan thinks he's escaped just to run into Art, who starts hacking at him with a scalpel. Sienna comes to and attacks Art with the table leg from earlier, burying it in the back of Art's head, and they run. Jonathan tells Sienna that he thinks she's the only one that can stop Art and that they needed to be at the Terrifier.
Oh.
Art attacks them both with like a cat of nine tails, and Sienna is able to overpower him, and she beats him with the cat of nine tails a bit, and then shoves rebar through his head, but Art just gets up and starts to choke Sienna. Jonathan grabs the sawed-off shotgun that's like strapped to Art's leg and shoots him with it. Sienna passes out and wakes to like Jonathan kind of like telling her to like stay with him, you know, they gotta get out, just to come to her mom comforting her. But when she's like, oh, I thought I'd never see you again, mom, she's like, oh, did Jonathan tell you what happened? And then it turns out it's the little pale girl.
Ooh.
Showing her, you know, a warped reality with her demon powers.
Literal demons.
Sienna finds Art standing over Jonathan, and she attacks him, but Art just kind of like pushes her through some floorboards.
Yeah.
Where she falls like multiple feet, and we see like a funhouse mirror on the ground, and like as she kind of like looks at it, it's like she hears screaming and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then she turns around and Art stabs her with her own sword, and she falls back into the portal to hell.
Good, finally.
Art goes back to torturing Jonathan by eating his hand.
Yeah.
While Sienna finds herself in like a Houdini's drowning tank,
kind of
in the middle of the clown cafe, and like all the murdered people are like up and performing as though, like, even though showing all the injuries, like they're up and still having fun and kind of cheering her on. Sienna slowly drowns, but then Jonathan calls for help, which causes her sword to start to glow, and then her body like reanimates, and she's able to kind of burst out. As Art takes a bite out of Jonathan's calf, Sienna appears, stabbing him with the sword, slitting his throat, and then decapitating Art with a scream. Sienna and Jonathan are kind of, you know, panting and like they're breathing heavy, and then the little pale girl shows up, doesn't pay them any mind, just goes and grabs Art's head and starts like cradling it like a baby and leaves. The theme starts to play, credits roll, mid-credit scene at the Miles County Psychiatric Hospital. Victoria is, we first see her puking and then bleeding from her crotch. We then see suddenly that like her stomach expands as though she's pregnant. And two orderlies talk about just the whole situation, and one of them starts to hum the Clown Cafe song, and the other orderly's like, what's that song? And she's like, I don't know, like the Victoria's been humming it all day.
Oh no.
And so that orderly kind of goes to check on stuff, and she hears Victoria singing the Clown Cafe song, so she goes to check on her, and we see that Victoria's given birth to Art's head. And Victoria laughs, and her eyes glow yellow like the little pale girl's. The little pale girl has possessed Victoria.
Wow.
Credits roll. Clown Cafe plays. End of movie.
Clown Cafe.
Drop on by the Clown Cafe. Drop on by the Clown Cafe. God, it's such a great song.
Indeed, sir.
Hurry up and order quick before it runs away.
That's a wrap on Terrifier
2. That's Terrifier 2. Man.
Are you terrified yet, Jay?
I'm so terrified.
Good.
I feel like we barely talked about it. That movie breezes by. I don't know what people are complaining about. 2 hours.
Too long. Boring.
Well, what category do you want to start off with today,
buddy? Boring!
Wrong!
Let's talk about the Halloween spirit.
All right, how Halloween-y is the movie? How Halloween-y are the kills?
Real damn Halloween-y, I'd say, on the overall tone of the movie, because it's set at Halloween, and Halloween costumes are a big part of the plot.
Like, it's one of those where it's like, it's for me, it's like close to top tier. It's like, it's just like a couple things short of being like, it's completely below. Halloween-y.
Yeah, it's below a trick-or-treat for sure, but it's above most of the other ones we've done.
Like, Hollowgate is nowhere near as Halloween-y as this. Like,
not even close. Not even my beloved Pumpkinhead.
It's just small things. Like, maybe having like more Halloween, like more trick-or-treaters on the street.
More trick-or-treaters. I think more decorations, like more jack-o'-lanterns, more things in the yards, maybe.
Yep.
But I mean, honestly, that's probably the budget constraint.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because when he had basically a blank check for three, you saw how many Christmas decorations and things were put around.
Yeah, there was Christmas shit everywhere. That fucking... I still think about that, the Christmas frat house. Like, yes. That scene's so good. Kills... Really, the only like Halloween-y kill is the mom's head as a candy bowl.
Yeah,
but it is a killer clown going around killing people on Halloween.
Yeah, the costume shop kill too. That's pretty good.
Yep, like it's all kind of a, you know, it's not Sam killing people with a lollipop or whatever, but it's still pretty good.
You don't get anything like super classic like that, but yeah, you get some solid kills. I mean, all the effects look good. They did, I think, I can't remember what he said, like 90 or 95% practical effects, basically. And, I mean, honestly, they pretty much pushed the limits of what you would be allowed to show, I think. Because if they pushed it much further than this, I don't think movie theaters would run it.
Yep. Now, I think maybe I'm right. I didn't double check, but I swear I heard at one point in time, like, they did have to cut things. Especially from, like, the bedroom scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, talking about practical effects, Halloween costume sets, costumes, etc. Fucking the practical effects are immaculate. Once again, what do you expect from a Damien Leone movie based off Terrifier 1? Awesome fucking practical effects.
Phenomenal effects. Great costumes. I mean, the Valkyrie outfit is awesome. I know the actress she loved it at first, but then started to hate it as the shoot went on.
I'm sure.
But yeah.
I'm sure it's not comfortable.
No, not that was the main complaint, not comfortable. Same thing with Art. Art takes about 3 hours to get into makeup, so I'm sure that gets tiring after a while.
I think both the Clown Cafe and the Terrifier are fantastic sets.
Yeah.
Like those set pieces, like I'm like, more of those, please.
Well, and I think part of what made the effects so great and he was able to perfect these effects style was because the shoot was shut down mid-shoot for COVID. And so he basically used that time in isolation to perfect his like blood effects and the gore and stuff he wanted. So that, I think, ultimately ended up being a positive, I think, for the franchise, because once he established that, I mean, he kind of did it in one, but you could tell that the budget was really constrained in one.
Mm.
This one, he had a little bit more to work with, because that was the primary point of the Indiegogo campaign for this was for the effects budget.
Right.
Because he did, you know, the way you're supposed to do a movie, where he wrote the movie out first, and then he's like, okay, now how am I going to get this made? He didn't do the, okay, this is the budget I have, so this is what we can do method that makes the Hollywood slop.
Yep. Talked about Sienna's costume. I loved Jeff's costume, the homage to Bob. Yes. I thought that was great.
Poor Jeff and his stabbed dick.
Hate when that happens. Little pale girl, I thought was creepy as shit.
Very creep. She's like, people are like, oh, art. I'm like, the little pale girl is way scarier than Art.
Oh, also, I don't think I mentioned the little pale girl is Art's first victim.
I believe that's what the newspaper thing implies, yes.
So like that kind of, and then, you know, potentially Victoria being the second victim, like passed on, or the second, or the only victim to survive, like,
certainly,
that demon then possesses Victoria.
Certainly the demon. It seems like Art's like penchant for violence is what got this demon interested in him in the first place, and the little girl kill kind of like attracted its attention.
Also, I love the idea that a haunted house at a carnival, that the Terrifier, yeah, is also the gateway to hell. I think that's such a cool idea.
You know, honestly, what it reminded me of, something you would see like in Spawn.
Yes,
like the way there's gates to hell around town.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's all I had for Halloween costumes and stuff.
I mean,
like that.
Yeah, you can't say enough good about the effects in this movie. You can't say the character designs are all great, very memorable. I mean, obviously the merchandise sells like hotcakes everywhere.
Yep. I mean, can't keep. I think we are out of Art the Clown costumes currently, at least for adults. We have some still for kids. And I think maybe at work we have one little pale girl outfit left. And like, I think that's it.
And I see the Art's Krispies and the sunglasses everywhere.
All right. I have a pair of the Christmas sunglasses over there, and I think I also have a pair of the sunflower sunglasses. Yeah. And I also have an Art the Clown Santa animatronic because excellent. I'm a fucking moron who decided to use my employee discount on that.
You know what, Jay? I approve.
I'll have to set it up at some point. We'll have more more co-hosts in the studio.
Studio picks coming soon.
Ready to do Monster Mash favorite quotes?
Might as well. Got to pull mine up, so I'll let you start.
One thing I will say, and I think this also tracks from Terrifier 1. David Leone, I don't think is made like writes solid dialogue. Like the people talking sounded like they were talking to each other.
Yes,
but there's not a ton of like quips. And which
no,
you know, I think people complain about quippy movies like Marvel and stuff like that.
The Marvel virus. Honestly, I'm glad that this is not that kind of dialogue because the Marvel virus has infected too many franchises.
But it does make us highlighting like it did make highlighting lines a little harder. I only got three. One of the last things Allie says, you're really weird, you know that? And she says that to Art.
A Brooke and Jeff exchange. Of course, I'm obsessed with Jeff's. Brooke's like, where are you going? Jeff, in classic Jeff fashion's like, I have to go pee-pee. You want to hold it?
Another Allie Sienna exchange. Sienna goes, little early for chocolate, no? And Allie goes, you're talking to someone who eats Count Chocolate on a regular basis. And I'm like, fuck yeah, Allie. Allie was, I think, my favorite of Sienna's, like, friends.
Yeah, no, I agree.
R.I.P.
costume shop owner to Art before, obviously, he gets destroyed. Get the hell out of here before I fuck you up.
My last one, and it's shitty Barbara.
Oh, boy.
Get back to bed. You have school in the morning, Jonathan. You mean I still have to go? Barbara, what did I say?
Yeah, classic. Again, from the costume store owner, Jay. Art's playing with the horn that he eventually puts on the counter. He's like, if you're going to put that in your mouth, you got to pay for it.
I'm out of quotes.
Barbara, when Sienna's getting ready to leave, she's like, the costume's pretty revealing. It's 3 months of work, and that's all you could say is it's revealing? And then Barbara's like, your tits are popping out of it.
I wouldn't say they're popping out.
I mean, this close.
What costumes look like, Mom.
We're on the edge. Of course, I don't know if you noticed, but one of the things Art writes on the car window in blood is just
the tip.
Yeah.
Which is cool. What Jeff's shirt said, and then yeah. it was a knife with just blood on the tip of the knife.
Where's the? There it is. It's when the news anchor is talking on the TV and she's watching the news report, and she's like, "Hayes was released from St. Michael's Hospital yesterday evening after months of rehabilitation and psychoanalysis." And then she turns, "Like you, Sienna."
Yep, it's Sienna. Yeah, has to take medication for for having visions or whatever, which then carries over into the next movie.
Again, classic Jeff dialogue. Just the tip. Brooke's like, oh yeah, nice shirt. And he's like, wishful thinking. And Brooke's like, I bet. Oh. The TV, a couple of the things at the Clown Cafe were good. Like the entire song.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would love to. Yeah, just play the whole song. Like,
but no, the classic TV commercial kid who's like, wow, I wonder what I got in the box of Art's Krispies. And you know, it's something terrible.
As you're watching like bugs and glass and razor blades.
But yeah, no, that's all I had.
All right. Well, let's move on to, Smashed Pumpkin Brilliant Jack-O-Lantern.
Smashed Jack-O-Lantern Brilliant Jack-O-Lantern.
Sure. One thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise.
Too long. Boring.
Boring.
Boring. Boring.
First movie too short, not enough story. This movie, story too long, movie too long.
Too much story. No. Honestly, it was kind of hard because like a lot of the things done in this movie were, there were some things I could complain about, but it's like, it's kind of more nitpicky stuff. But honestly, if I had to complain about one thing, it's some of the characters feel like they don't really need to be there. I think maybe he could have tightened up the script a little bit, because some of, like, I think he probably could have cut out a member of the friend group and it really wouldn't have affected much. I think there's a few scenes we probably could have cut and made it a more streamlined movie. But I mean, honestly, that's what I picked. But I like watching Art wander around and do stuff. But was all of it necessary? Probably not. But
I'm kind of with you. In some of that too, where I'm like, either I would have liked to have gotten more Jonathan stuff or less Jonathan stuff.
Yeah.
Like either cut out kind of the whole school thing with him in general, mm-hmm. and just have it be like his insistence on wearing the art costume is what gets him grounded, or give us more stuff with John. Like, I would have loved to have seen Art, you know, murder a couple of the teachers after hours or something.
Yeah. Yeah, the Jonathan school subplot was one of the things I thought could have probably been cut.
Oh, and I would have loved something where, like, you see Jonathan, like, maybe he, like, gets grounded because he insists on wearing the costume, and instead of, like, it being his mom yelling at him, he puts on the costume anyway and sneaks out, and maybe he runs into Art.
Yeah.
And, like, and, you know, you get kind of the dichotomy of, like, the two of them. Like, I would have liked maybe something with that. You know, like, it's very nitpicky. It's something... Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of things other people are complaining about online, but I just was like, I can't really find anything too, like, super wrong with this. I mean, is he the best writer in the world? No. But I mean, like you said, the dialogue sounds natural enough that it doesn't, like, drag down the movie.
Yeah, like if anything, the worst times the dialogue sounded were the worst actors in the movie. Yes. Like, there's these girls walking by Jonathan in the hall, and they're like, "You can borrow my gym shorts."
Yes.
Like,
well, that's, I was going to comment on that too. I was like, some of the acting is atrocious in this movie, but I mean, it was a $250,000 budget.
And I bet those girls, like, mom or dad donated enough money for them to get to be in the scene or whatever.
I'm assuming that was an Indiegogo perk or something. Yep. Yeah. But it's like, I didn't really want to be too harsh on that. And I mean, honestly, people forget, because everything now has to be a mega success, blockbuster hit, Jay. Nothing could just be a regular movie. It's like, slasher movies never had good dialogue.
Right.
They never had good stories. It was basically just kills, like we've always said.
Yep.
But no, that's not good enough for your modern audience, Jay.
It's all got to be elevated horror.
Yeah, so we got to have we have to have world-class dialogue and groundbreaking special effects and an engrossing story from start to finish. But it can't be too short, Jay, but it also can't be too long.
I want it all in one bag, but I don't want that bag to be heavy.
Yes.
Ma'am, that's impossible. Who are you, the possible police? brilliant Jack Lantern. Thing you want to praise.
You know, again, I had the problem with this is there's a lot of things I want to praise. But honestly, I think having Sienna's character in this movie, I want to praise Sienna's performance. And just having her as a counterbalance to Art, like setting up the good and evil battle that's going to be continuing on. I thought that the actress did a really great job. She was, I think, probably the best speaking actor in the movie. I mean, fuck Jonathan. I mean, he's a little kid, so what are you going to do?
He's great. Jonathan, like I said, my only complaint is Jonathan calling his parents mommy and daddy, which just feels weird.
That does feel very weird, but no, I like Sienna. I like her performance. I like that she's not a standard final girl type character. Breaking the trope was good. Having the traumatic past stuff actually come up in a meaningful way was good, and not just have it be tragic backstory, hand to forehead.
Yep.
But yeah, her interactions with Art, like, literally, she's being, like, beaten to death with the whip in The Terrifier. And instead of, like, begging for mercy or anything like that, she's just like, fuck you, starts whipping him back with it.
I was going to say Sienna just like kind of the universe building that occurred both because of her and just in the, from this movie to the net or from the last movie to this movie. You kind of covered all that. So my backup. The one other thing I wanted to praise, soundtrack's so fucking good.
Yes.
Like, the Paul, Paul Wiley, I believe, is the composer guy.
Yes.
Fucking rule. That soundtrack just fucking slaps so hard.
No, it really does. It's a highlight of the movie.
It feels like synthy straight out of the late 80s. Yes. Like,
honestly, I checked when this was over. I was like, did John Carpenter do anything for this? No, apparently just a big John Carpenter fan.
Yeah, it's so fun. I fucking loved the score to this movie. And so, yeah, like I said, if you hadn't said Sienna, I would have said Sienna. But Paul Wiley absolutely deserves a shout out. That the fucking soundtrack rules. The soundtrack then rules in the third movie. Like, yes. This dude did a great job.
Indeed.
Well, Jeff, it's about that time. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, Halloween Spooktacular Edition, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it 6 feet under? Is it candy corny? Or is it seasonally spooky?
Well, Jay, for my 2025 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular rating, fuck you, Editor Jay. honestly, I don't think there's really any... This movie could go in one of two categories because it does have some really goofy moments, but seasonally spooky for me.
I had to look where I put... Because I was like, if I put Terrifier 1 as candy corny, I don't want to put... I'll put this one at candy corny.
Yeah.
If I put Terrifier 1 at seasonally spooky, I don't want to then be like, well, this one's candy corny. Like, yeah. No, this one's funny as shit. But like, so I had to go back and like double check. And I'm like, right. No, seasonally spooky.
Once again, sickos like Jay and I aren't bothered by this, but I could see this this could be very upsetting for a normal person who's not used to horror movies and cartoonish levels of gore like we are. So that's why I picked seasonally spooky over candy corny. So it's like there's a lot of genuine. I mean, even for me, like the little girl's unsettling. The scene where her eye is still moving in the bedroom, that is creepy as hell. I mean, it has some genuinely creepy moments. Honestly, Art's scariest scene is not when he's killing anybody. I think it's the costume shop scene.
When he's just standing in the doorway and like raising his eyebrows and Sienna has to like squeeze past. I'm like, I know what happens next. Like, I know that Sienna doesn't get attacked here. Like, I know what happens because I've seen the next scene. Mm-hmm. But he's just so menacing in that scene.
No, it's got to be seasonally spooky.
Yeah, seasonally spooky. Having now seen all three Terrifier movies, I can confidently say this is the best one. Not my favorite, the best one.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the next couple of minutes you'll hear people complain about the length of the movie. I don't think it feels anywhere near its 2-hour runtime. This movie fucking breezes by. Great characters, great kills, great sets. Everything I said last year, just ratchet that up some more. One thing I want to say. I swear to God, if Art winds up being like Sienna's dad or some version of Sienna, I'm going to feel so let down.
Let's hope. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
That feels like such a cop-out for 3 movies now that I've enjoyed. And I've heard so many people be like, I bet Art's like Sienna's dad, and that's that. And I'm like, I swear to God, if that's the direction we go, like, I'm gonna feel so let down in the end.
Honestly, what I'm hoping for is a Michael Myers style resolution where he's like the Shape, like he's just evil incarnate, basically.
Yep.
I'm hoping for something like that.
I want something. I don't want just like the standard like Luke, I'm your father.
No, you know what? Honestly, the best thing would be if he's just never explained.
Yep.
I think that would be the best thing.
I would rather have there be like hints. Yeah. Like, you know, I also don't want like a Pennywise of like, there's always been an Art the Clown in New York, in Miles County. But like, more of just like, no, it's just like, Art was this evil dude who got like who was a normal guy who then basically got picked by demons and was like, nah, like this is gonna be the new embodiment of all evil in the universe or whatever.
What we need, Jay, is for Ethan Hawke to show up and come up right behind Sienna and go, dead is just a word.
He's gonna be like,
black phone too.
I'm gonna black phone you guys.
Dead's just a word, Sienna.
what if Ethan Hawke had like rolled up, like swapped those two movies out just for one scene and suddenly like, you know, you get Finney like riding his bike and like there's the black van and then Art just pops out.
that would be an epic crossover.
Or vice versa, like Sienna thinks like, oh shit, it's Art in his van, and then it just winds up being the Grabber.
God, that would be amazing.
Well,
But Jay, did you consider that movie too long, movie too boring?
Razor blades in the candy. I did. I fucking ugh.
Special effects were bad.
I saw that too. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
What happened with the sword? Total boner killer, bro. Literal quote from a review, by the way.
All right, I think I've got four. I think I've got four.
Ow, my boner.
1 out of 10. The original was tolerable, but this is just lackluster at best. I honestly have no idea how the score is so high when the movie... Oh, 1 out of 10. When the movie was absolutely terrible. I enjoyed the original film, the original from 2011, so that I think that's the short film. And the actual full movie in 2016 was decent. But this just had absolutely no plot. What? Doesn't give a glimpse into how he was brought back to life, except from one would say is his imaginary friend... who might be a demon of resurrection. Don't get me wrong, I love horror movies. I'm starting to doubt. But this isn't a horror movie. This is just a bunch of corn syrup and red dye thrown in with removal of plastics. They should have just left it alone after the first one, because it literally is murder after murder after murder with absolutely no plot or theme to be had. Did they get the two movies mixed up?
Because
those were the complaints we had last year.
I am fully convinced, and you can call me a conspiracy theorist if you want. I believe that 50 to 70% of online reviewers have never actually watched the movie that they're reviewing.
I mean, we've had it confirmed multiple people not finishing the movie and writing a review. It didn't make sense. Well, you didn't finish it.
Of course, Jay. Of course you would say that. All right. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Terrifier 2 is a masterclass in misunderstanding cinema. Had you in the first half. Leon believes excess equals substance. He mistakes viscera for vision. Every frame screams, look at me, I'm transgressive. But it's all noise, no nuance. The pacing feels like Tarkovsky directed a snuff film. Okay. By the time Art the Clown pulls out his 9th murder prop, I longed for the subtlety of Saw 2. This isn't exploitation art. This is just exploitation. Full stop.
That guy sniffs his own farts.
Excellent.
1 out of 10. Should have put comedy instead odd horror, because they didn't write of, they didn't type of correctly.
Yes, yes.
Besides one or two jump scares, the rest of this movie is just pure comedy. I agree, it's very funny.
It is very funny.
It looks like one big amateur film. It is.
It is, yeah.
Like a bunch of kids decided to film a slasher movie, but all they could find to use were CPR dummies, some cheap fake blood, and plastic toy saws. Disagree.
Yeah.
That's where you lost me.
I don't know about that.
The acting was horrible. That was the most funny part of this movie. I mean, the acting was...
There are some horrible actors in the movie, but overall, I wouldn't say the acting quality is horrible.
I could not for one second believe the emotions the actors were supposed to portray. The rating that this movie receives is probably because 13 to 14-year-olds watched it and thought, yeah, this has some gruesome scenes that look totally realistic, so it must be a good horror. All in all, one big flop.
Okay.
53 people found that helpful.
And that was a how many star review?
1 out of 10.
1 out of 10? See, that reads more to like a 3 or 4 out of 10.
Right.
Whatever. Okay. This was a poetic review on Reddit, Jay. In the circus of despair, a clown juggles entrails while meaning lies gutted in the corner. The director paints in red, but forgets that red without contrast is just noise. Every scene stretches beyond reason, like a rubber band around a corpse. I left the theater haunted, not by the killer, but by the echoing question, why?
I hate these fucking people.
hey, this list of reviews was handcrafted to drive J Logsdon insane.
All right. 1 out of 10. I think 1 out of 10. 1 out of 10. Better just to watch hyenas eating on National Geographic.
Hmm.
The Terrifier films went from one of my most favorite horror films in Terrifier 1 to one of my least favorite horror films in Terrifier 2. Terrifier 2 was just a bunch of disgusting and nauseating gore stuff. Nothing scary at all.
That's literally the first one.
What did you find so scary about the first one that you didn't find scary about this one?
See, that's the thing. The first one is literally just nauseating gore stuff. That's the entire movie.
Right. If I wanted to watch a bunch of blood and guts, I could watch National Geographic lion, hyena, or crocodile specials. I don't have to watch a circus act as a horror movie for that. And in what was mega fake looking.
I don't have to watch people get killed in horror movies, Jay. I could just go out and kill people myself.
Those clearly mannequin with the heads taken off and ketchup gushing out and the eyeballs pulled was more like a disgusting dissection biology class than any scary horror movie. Can't believe I have been sitting around hyping up this film coming out for the last umpteen years because of how scared I was of the first. Horror writers have to avoid sequels because they ruin it. Horror writing these days just does not... Horror writing these days just does not know the meaning of subtle. Not only wasn't this scary, but the plot where the actors were only thinking about the killer from... Oh, I gotta swap pages. Hold on. The killer from the jump wasn't natural either. Our main character protagonist girl apparently has superpowers, though, through a sword all along that she doesn't know about. So this horror transforms into a sci-fi film. I also wouldn't think having magical powers through a sword would be sci-fi. I think it would be fantasy. What the fuck? I didn't get any of it. Also, are we now to believe that Art the Clown also has supernatural powers since he got up from a gunshot amid all the blood splattering and guts from being stabbed as well, like nothing ever happened? If you liked Terrifier 1 so much, why do you think he got up in the first fucking place? I thought he was represented as some old creep in a warehouse in the first one. Where did the supernatural sci-fi stuff come into play? At the end of the first movie. Waste of money.
Jeff fell asleep. Is the review over?
It is.
Oh, people complain about the movie being long. What a... Yeah, I love Terrifier 1, Jay, but Terrifier 2 is terrible, even though it does everything that 1 did, but better.
I when did Art get supernatural powers?
At the end of the movie
you supposedly loved.
Terrifier 2 presents itself as a postmodern deconstruction of the slasher mythos. In reality, it is a post-lobotomy reconstruction of the human attention span. Oh. The film's central metaphor, if such a term can be applied to a chainsaw, appears to be that pain substitutes for plot. Leon weaponizes duration itself. Each minute feels like an hour. Each kill like a thesis statement on narrative decay. 0 stars for craft. But infinite credit for making time itself suffer.
This is my last one. 5 out of 10. Gore galore, but the storyline falls flat. I was like, you know, I did a bunch of 1 out of 10s. I'll grab more middle of the pack. Middle of the
road, yeah.
There is so much more gore in this film compared to the first, and very graphic shots, which was exactly what I was expecting, so that part was fine. The actors in this one are also so much better, which is nice, but for a slasher film, not essential. However, the runtime of the film was excessive, and the overall plot, which seemed to be heading one way but didn't really answer anything, was a head-scratcher. Felt like there was a lot of potential and pieces in place for a really great film, but the execution was off. Lauren Levera, as Sienna, was really brilliant in this, a truly fantastic performance. I'd recommend watching this, but know it's more about straight-up gore with supernatural themes than any real storyline. So, once again, like, I went into this expecting Terrifier, and this person probably complained that Terrifier 1 didn't have enough story in it.
Didn't have enough story.
Nope, still not enough story. Not enough. Movie too long, not enough story. movie too long, too much story.
It's 2 hours and 18 minutes long. That's longer than The Exorcist, longer than Psycho, longer than the lifespan of my will to live. By the time the movie ended, my popcorn fossilized. I had aged a decade. My soul had decayed. Somewhere out there, a better version of me turned it off after 5 minutes and went outside. That version is still alive.
I was like, we've watched long, slow, boring movies.
Oh my this God. Is have, not those. Have we watched long, slow, boring movies? Nutcracker Massacre.
And, oh my God.
I saw Terrifier 2 after several members of my congregation mentioned it in confession. I now understand why. This is not entertainment. It is spiritual corrosion projected at 24 frames per second. When the credits rolled, I didn't feel relief. I felt the absence of God. I will be performing a cleansing this Sunday.
That's the thing. Part of me wants that to be real, and part of me wants that to be like someone pretending like they're a priest or a pastor.
All right, Jay, well, let's finish this up. This is a little bit of a longer review, but it's from a guy that we know to be pretty wordy. Just saw this movie, Terrifier 2, they call it. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. People are saying it's the scariest movie ever made, and maybe for some people it is. But I wasn't scared, not even a little, believe me. I've seen scarier things in Nancy Pelosi's refrigerator. The clown, weak. Not funny, not classy, not even a good clown. I've hired better clowns for Mar-a-Lago kids' parties. Tremendous clowns, the best.
I wouldn't want to go to those kids' parties at Mar-a-Lago.
Art the Clown. What kind of name is that? He's got no art, folks. He's a disaster. The movie's a mess. 2.5 hours. Way too long. Like Sleepy Joe giving a speech with no teleprompter. It's all blood, no plot, no deals, no winning. The director, a total lightweight, doesn't know pacing, doesn't know editing, doesn't know how to make America scared again. If I had directed Terrifier 2, it would have been beautiful. Fast, efficient, big success. Everyone would have loved it. We would have made a great horror again. They say people fainted during the screenings. Fake news. Nobody fainted when I was president. People were strong then. Now they're fainting over some clown with a hacksaw. Pathetic. And I talk about the budget. $250,000. Sad. Could have made it for half and it would have looked 10 times better. We'd have real winners, real victims, incredible lighting, golden chainsaws, maybe a cameo by Melania. People would have gone crazy. 0 stars. A total failure. But you know what? If they call me, I'll fix it. Terrifier 3, we'll do it in Trump Tower. It'll be classy horror, real horror. Maybe the clown tries to raise taxes. That's scary. Maybe he tries to build a wall and can't. Very scary. The critics will say it's the best sequel ever. Everyone will say it. Believe me. So in conclusion, Terrifier 2, very bad, very unfair to clowns. Frankly, folks, I've done scarier things before breakfast. Total disaster.
I mean, I believe that.
Sad. Who could have wrote that, Jay?
No idea. Thank you, anonymous reviewer.
It was me.
I did it. I enjoyed that. That was fun. All right. Well, is art trick or treat list? Is art now maybe our most powerful
slasher? I don't know. I mean, for now, maybe, because he is invincible, I guess. But I mean, so's Pumpkinhead. I don't know.
Art, I would say, is more brutal than Pumpkinhead. Like, Pumpkinhead is more
physically powerful.
Yeah, but yeah. Also, like, all art has to do is murder the other Pumpkinhead people.
I'm guessing that would be art strategy to defeat Pumpkinhead would be to murder the summoners. But yeah, I mean, that would be an interesting battle to see art go up against Pumpkinhead. I mean, current Michael Myers, I think, loses to this version of art.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Next week we'll have at least resurrection powered Michael Myers, but even I don't even know if Michael ever gets to the point where he would.
Yeah, I don't know if he could take him in a straight up fight. No, maybe in Halloween Kills, maybe in that form.
Right, but yeah, like
I think for now he is probably our strongest.
Yep.
Because I mean he's got access to tons of weapons. He has access to supernatural help. He himself can't die.
Like so. I mean I don't know.
Sam's
like a different level.
Sam's on a different tier. He's like an apocalypse level slash like thematic level threat.
And I would say same with with Irish druid,
yeah,
bug head powers, yes. Stonehenge powers.
I would say Art is top of the heap for slashers as of now, but yeah, he's not top of the heap in general.
And I would say like he's a near apocalyptic threat. But close, yeah, not yeah. But yeah, just yeah, below, I mean, like those world shattering powers.
At least as far as we know so far, Art is a more localized event, like a Michael Myers.
Yep. But hey, you know, and also a one up that Art has is Michael only shows up, you know, 1 month. Art has, as we'll soon learn, Art shows up multiple months out of the year.
Multiple seasons.
All right. Well, Jeff, it's time for this.
Garbage Day!
Huh?
No!
All right, Jeff, we got Oreo apple pie a la mode flavor.
Ooh. Are you going to do it again, Oreo?
We've got salted nut roll apple pie flavor.
Ooh.
There's a theme.
I'm sensing that. Ooh. You smelled these? Take a whiff of that. That's good.
It smells like apple pie.
You fucking freaks at Oreo. What are you doing to these cookies?
We got Ghirardelli Squares Pumpkin Spice Caramel.
Ooh. Oh,
we've no. got Ghirardelli Jack-O-Lanterns Caramel Apple.
I knew it. This is part of Jay's plot to turn me into a basic bitch.
We've got Hershey's Nuggets Pumpkin Spice Latte.
Oh, no.
We've got Caramel Apple Sugar Babies.
Oh, boy. I don't know if you've seen them, Jay, but I've been enjoying the memes of women drinking pumpkin spice latte out of deer feeders.
Oh, we've got Alani New Pumpkin Cream.
Ooh. Oh, Jay, somebody creamed in my pumpkin.
Oh, what is that? What is this out there Halloween make-a-tip?
Yeah.
And last but not least.
Jesus, he's still pulling things out.
Pumpkin pie Pop-Tarts.
Just the fucking Joe Bob coolers become Art's bag.
We'll just do one of each.
We're splitting a Pop-Tart.
We'll split the Pop-Tart. Unless it's good. I don't think it will be.
Oh, you never know, Jay. All right, so I just need a salted nut roll and one of the Hershey Nugget things.
Oh, you need some sugar babies.
I forgot about those.
And you need another Ghirardelli.
Oh, we need two?
Yeah, there's one of each.
Oh, okay. Oh, damn, all sugar babies. Just hoping there'd be a sugar daddy in there.
One of these days. I don't know if you want a couple of
might as well
pumpkin nuggets.
Do two so we can get the full flavor. Do you follow Meat Canyon on YouTube? You watch his animations?
Yeah.
I'm a member of his Patreon club, and he sends out stickers every month. The stickers for this month are the basic bitch with the pumpkin spice latte from that pumpkin. If I don't know if you've seen the pumpkin spice one or not.
I don't think I have. I'll have to check it out.
She goes through the drive-thru and becomes increasingly unhinged every pass around.
Maybe I have seen that.
Oh, the explosion. Jay just nut rolled everywhere.
Oh, there's nut everywhere.
Oh, man. This is a show for kids.
All right,
what are we going to do first?
Let's start off with the nut.
All right.
Are you a nut roll fan, Jeff?
Usually I am. I don't know about apple with the nut roll, but
right.
We'll try it.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to... Oh, here I'm losing my nut.
You know, it kind of works. Gotta say, I was skeptical, but pretty good.
I'm impressed. Mm-hmm. I was with you. I was expecting that to not be good.
Yeah, I like it.
Let's keep the apple train rolling. Let's do some sugar babies.
Here we go.
I don't know if I've ever had a sugar baby.
Really? Wow.
I'm not sure. Milk caramel with apple candy coating.
Mmm. Those are good. Nice burst of apple flavor.
That is really solid.
I don't know. Two things I thought were going to be the weakest have been pretty solid.
All right, let's grab some of these Oreos. Damn, I'm really impressed by the sugar. That's fucking good.
All right, here we go.
And this is going to be a hit. At first, I'm like one bite in. At first, I thought it would be a little weak. I was like, oh, like the apple came through and it vanished. And then I was like, oh, that's the Alamo. That's the vanilla flavor coming through.
Solid.
Tastes like apple pie with ice cream on top. All right, then we'll loop out. We'll hit the Ghirardelli, and then we'll use the Ghirardelli, the pumpkin spice one, to loop into the pumpkin spice shit.
All right, good, good. All right, you ready?
Ghirardelli caramel apple jack-o'-lanterns. Mm. Well, I'm dropping everything.
As you go along, it gets more apple-y. Kind of like it. Ghirardelli's never been my favorite chocolate, but it's not bad.
I think that's my weakest so far.
Yeah. I agree.
I think if you like all the things in that, you would like that.
All right, Jay. What are we doing?
All right, so Ghirardelli milk chocolate pumpkin spice caramel square.
Here it goes.
Oh, I was hoping my thing would have a little guy on it or something.
Nope.
I was hoping we'd get Flat Top Frank again or something.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. He just starts showing up in different foods.
I'm going to take a bite. We'll see how this is. I like that one better than I like the caramel apple. The pumpkin spice flavor is really good on that one.
Yeah. Pumpkin works better, I think. Yeah. Mm.
All right, let's grab a Hershey's nugget. I think I like the Ghirardelli better.
Can't really taste much in the Hershey's.
No, it's the Hershey. I think the kind of the shitty Hershey's chocolate kind of overpowers the rest of the flavors in that.
Yeah.
All right, Pop Tart, and then Alani Nu to wash it down.
Mm-hmm. Find out who creamed in my pumpkin.
We got apple nut all over the floor. We got creams in our pumpkin.
Disgusting.
I know. There was that WNUF 2 pack that at Walmart, and I heard someone talk about it, and they basically called out. They're like that. There's this really funny joke where like these people are like, oh, there's aliens attacking our farm. Look, they probed our jack-o'-lanterns, and then like she also has two like grown like idiot sons, and it's like. They're clearly the guys who probed those jack-o'-lanterns. And yeah. I'm like, I'm glad you caught that joke. With how good the Oreo pumpkin pie has been the last couple times we've had that, all of these pumpkin things are letdowns by comparison.
No, they are.
I'd say the Ghirardelli's been the strongest so far.
Strongest flavor, for sure. This Pop-Tart doesn't taste like anything.
All right, then let's... cream these pumpkins.
Oh boy, Jay's creaming it.
Instantly needs to be said, it's supposed to be cream. Jeff, that's clear. Cream is not clear.
It might be, Jay. Might signal a health issue.
Man, probably need to get that looked at. If your cream is clear,
yeah, should be at least a little hazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Contact the vet, because clearly we're talking about cow's milk. Yes. Also, weird smell.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, here we go.
All right. I'm not excited.
Bottoms up.
I feel like Dr. Steve Brule. I'm like, no.
Jay, why you done what you done? Why'd you do this to me? I could have gone my whole life without tasting this fucking trash.
Not tasting the pumpkin cream.
I'm doing one more just to make sure I get the full flavor.
That's so bad. Why is it clear and called pumpkin cream?
God. That is legitimately worse tasting than some of the alcohol you've given me.
That's That's truly awful. That is the worst thing we've ever...
Listeners, normally I take this home with me and drink it on the way home. I will not be doing that.
So fucking bad. That's disgusting.
It is vile. That tastes nothing like fucking pumpkin. Nothing like cream.
I don't know what that's supposed to taste like.
Chemicals. It tastes like... Is this the fucking chemical runoff from another batch of Alani?
Yeah, this is what's splurted out afterwards when they're done with making the caramel apple or whatever.
I was gonna say, is this the runoff from the good apple monster? Have you tried that one yet?
I've not tried it. I've heard it's good.
It's really good. Yeah, this is the runoff from that, I think.
God, that's disgusting.
Oh God.
I had actually tried it earlier in the season. I had a coworker had let me try it. Mm. And I was like, all right, like, let's, you know, like, I'll give this a shot. Like, I'm just like, I'll take a sip. Like, cause I was still like on the hunt for it at the time. I was like, oh, I'll take a sip just to see what it's like. And then I thought it was bad, but it was one of those where I had one sip and I was like,
maybe can't judge it from
yeah,
that.
Maybe I'll try it again in a bit and see if it's bad. No, it's still fucking terrible. It's still so goddamn it's bad.
Awful. That's the only word I can think of. Awful.
That's the bottom.
Absolutely awful. Oh, no question. Bottom, probably that, then the Pop-Tart.
Then the Nugget.
Then the Nugget, yeah. And then probably the...
Probably the Caramel Apple Ghirardelli. Yeah,
the Apple Ghirardelli, then the Pumpkin Ghirardelli. Ghirardelli. Yeah, and then honestly, I think for me, Oreos, then the Sugar Babies top.
Oh, what about Nut Roll?
Nut Roll, actually, no. Sugar Babies, then Nut Roll, then Oreo
okay. for me. I think I'm in agreement. I think that's all three. Like, that's the thing. The Oreo we knew was going to be fantastic. Mm. Like, there was no doubting that. I was expecting I wasn't sure how any of the pumpkin spice stuff was going to be, but I was expecting like the Nut Roll to be disappointing. I was expecting the Sugar Babies to not be good, and both those blew me really away good. With how good they are.
Yeah, yeah. I think they have to take the top spots.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, tell us Terrifier 2 too long, Terrifier too long,
Terrifier too short.
Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We are all the places. We are at Horror for Holidays. That's Horror the number 4 Holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up. Leave us comments. Best place to get your comments answered is there. The email. Leave us reviews on your podcatcher of choice. 5 stars, 0 stars if I could, if you want us to know you're a real sicko and actually listen to the show. We only read the 5-star reviews, so don't bother leaving anything lower than that.
Yep. Yeah, we're not going to take your advice. We know the show's bad. We're not going to take your advice if you're going to give this like a 4-star and a 3-star or 2. And certainly not going to read 1-star reviews.
Yeah, we filter those out. We go from 2 up.
Yep. And even then, we don't read them. We only read the 5 stars.
We just want to know the number.
If you have actual actionable advice, that's not stop.
Yeah.
For the love of God, stop putting this out.
That's not going to happen.
If you have actual actionable advice, 5-star review and then leave it.
Honestly, Jay, I don't know if I should tell the fans this, but actually, the more you hate the show, the more powerful Jay and I become.
Yep. We thrive off the haters. I love all the people we interact with. Everyone we've interacted with.
I was going to say, great. I don't think anybody has ever actually said that the show was bad.
I mean, that's the thing. We're not popular enough to have people that hate the show.
Well, you know. No, he didn't really say it was bad. Never mind. He was just like, I prefer it when you guys do stocking stuffer stuff. But, I mean,
what's the other thing? Christmas Podcast Network. We're proud to be part of it. All sorts of great podcasts out there. Holidays After Dark, Seasons Eatings, Totally Rad Christmas, other things.
Speaking of JR, a Totally Rad Christmas, that's coming up quick, isn't it?
I think it's got to be soon. I don't know. Jerry's not set the official date, but... if you're a total, I'll certainly share it on social media when it comes out. But if you're a Totally Rad Christmas listener, as well as if for whatever reason you're like, you know what, I'm going to listen to Jerry D, but I'll also listen to the trash that Jay and Jeff put out.
Yeah.
There's going to be a little blood beating happening soon.
We're blood beating all over the place.
Yeah.
You're going to find out who creamed in the pumpkin, who spilled Jay's nut all over the floor.
Maybe not those other two things, but maybe.
We don't know. We were too high on LSD to remember the episode.
So. Jared, I might be the episode where maybe Jerry Neese felt the most awkward after.
Yes. I mean, honestly, I think that's a badge of honor, Jay, to make Jerry D uncomfortable.
Other than that, next week, it will be the final week of the Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
The 2025 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular, Jay?
That one.
Ooh.
And this time, it'll be a Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers.
Damn, I was hoping it'd be Halloween 4, The Quest for Peace.
Completely. I would watch that.
If he turned to the camera and he was like, and that's why I'm Halloween 4, The Quest for Peace.
But yeah, Halloween 4. After the roaring success of Halloween 3,
yeah,
where the people clamored for no more Michael Myers in their Halloween movies, the cons went, no, we're going to put him back in Halloween 4.
Disgusting.
But hey,
Michael did
greatest, probably greatest movie opening of all time. So that's not the least to look forward to. And then, yeah, we'll be also longtime listeners know what will probably be coming for Garbage Day on the Halloween 4 episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
Something to pique people's interest, I guess. Anyway, we'll see you next week, Halloween 4. Thanks for listening. Bye.
In the crypt, late at night, monsters grooming, what a fright. The goblins danced, oh so grand, with vampires leading the band. Dracula waltz with grooving to blow. It was a happening monster show. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. Caught on in a flash. They did the monster mash.